First John 4, 7 and 8, my favorite verses in the Bible. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. I'm going to preach on love this morning for a change. No, we have just studied love for from the perspective of Christ's commandment to love one another over the last several months as we kind of went in depth with chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians and looked at all of the attributes of love. So I'm going to repeat all of that this morning, or not. Maybe I'll just let you refer back to that. But this morning I'm going to begin talking about the fruits of the Spirit. And the first one is, guess what? Love is the first fruit of the Spirit. And so I'd like for us to just be thinking about how we get our spiritual results and what those are. And so we'll be talking about how we, each time a different one of these fruits, how we plant that, how we cultivate it, and then how we harvest it, and what that is. There's a hymn that says, Send the light, that is the hymn, and it says, let us not grow weary in the work of love. Love begets love. As Jesus said, you will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? The species produces its own species, begets the same species. And so that's something to think about in John 3:16, where it speaks of Jesus being the only begotten Son of God, is that the idea that we beget what we are. It's the same DNA and all like that. So that's why, you know, an apple tree, the seeds grow up and bear more apples. And spiritually, the same with these spiritual fruits. Love begets love. When Paul was listing these fruits of the Spirit, he listed them in Galatians, in a letter to the Galatians. And after that, he said this, Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall reap of the flesh corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So we reap what we sow. And different religions and cultures have different ways of expressing that, but we all kind of have that in our minds as a sort of a universal truth, don't we? What we sow is what we'll reap. What we put out there is what we'll get back in some way. Eventually, whether it's good or bad. And so if we think about love as a spiritual fruit, we need to think then about the great commandment that Jesus gave and Paul's description that we've been going through, all as the agape love, the love that God has for us. That's the kind of love that we are invited to demonstrate and also to reap the benefits of in our lives. We plant the seeds of love first in prayer. You even think of prayer as the storehouse where the seeds are kept. You have to go there first of all and get those seeds that you can take out and then plant. And so that's where it all begins. If we're going to love as God loves, then we have to start with God and in our relationship with God. Jesus said, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open unto you. A lot of times we just stop with the asking part of that. And our prayer is just asking God to do something for us. But we don't think about the part where we're also supposed to be doing some looking on our own and seeking and working things out and learning and studying. And then we're supposed to have things that we do in response. So we get all that in our, we get our guidance in prayer. We pick up the seeds. We go there. We find out where, and we find out what we're supposed to be doing and where we're supposed to be going, and asking the Lord to open these doors for us and to open the way for us. That we can love people in prayer that we'll never even meet. You know, most of like world leaders and all like that, we won't meet them. Very few of us would maybe ever meet even one. Even world leaders don't meet each other. So, you know, we're going to be limited not only on that, but on people in our community and people where that we hear about on the news and all like that. We're not going to meet all those people, but we can pray. And in praying, we can plant those seeds and we can do that work. So let us not grow weary of that doing good, but instead be seed planters in our prayer. Go to prayer and love people in our prayers, in our interior soul that can stretch out wherever God leads us to go. And pray for love to grow and to be healthy and complete, both in our own capacity to love others and in the opportunities we have to express that love. And then that's where a lot of our choices are made too, is in our prayers, where we decide to live a life of love in accordance with the command of Christ. And with that verse is that I ended our series last time with the last Sunday, from the Jerusalem Bible translation, you must want love more than anything else. Paul encouraged Timothy, and through him he encourages us to study and show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We can study scriptures about love, and we can read inspirational study materials about love and sing the hymns of love. We can examine ourselves and decide what things need to be changed in our own life. Identify those areas that need self-improvement, you might say. It's not just, that's confession, facing ourselves honestly in the presence of God. But it's not just looking at that and then going on, but it's identifying those confessed things as items on the to-do list. Something we need to get done and to make changes there that will improve our capacity for loving and help us to do this better. And then choosing the materials that will help us in those areas that we need. We can share. We can let love be a part of all of our conversations, and we can participate in the church and in other charitable organizations and activities where love is expressed and carried out in helping people and in connecting people with one another. We can discuss with other people the goals and the characteristics of love as we learn about them and as they learn, and we can learn from each other and build each other up in love. And then with people, and that can be with other believers in Christ. It can be with people of other faiths that don't believe in Christ, and that can even be with unbelievers that do not have any faith. But anybody who is willing to discuss love with us is somebody that we can share with, and then in doing so, we're planting the seeds of love in as we share with them. And then we need to cultivate that love and cultivate a whole culture of love, where that we're planning and we're looking forward and seeing what was going to be needed, what's coming up in our lives, and how can we intentionally insert the principles of love in those activities and in those events. In this, look at our schedule, and how can we schedule things that are intentional to build love in our relationships and in our activities and things that we're involved in, and make those decisions based on the love of Christ working in our hearts. So it's something for us to practice how we apply love in every situation, and to form the habits, or in our vernacular in a Christian faith is rituals, things that we're doing over and over, like coming to church and participating in the service and participating in the sacraments and being a part of the life and work and ministry of the church, other habits like that that we have of prayer and of saying kind things to individuals, and you know, just let those patterns be there, because they also deepen and ingrain and help us to express and cultivate love in our relationships and develop disciplines and patterns for implementing love more thoroughly. It's something to be nurtured, to encourage each other and to tend to our relationships and to foster this environment of love wherever we go. And if we'll plant those seeds, and then if we will cultivate them, Paul said that one thing that he was talking about one time, he said, you know, one person plants, another person waters, but God gives the growth. And so as this fruit of love, as that seed matures and turns into a plant of some sort, a tree, or grows and begins to bear this fruit, and the fruit grows and we're a part of that, then we're going to be a part of the harvest also. It's going to be partly ours. We're in on that. And it's going to be partly ours when that fruit is complete, when love is brought to its perfection. Then that's something that we can enjoy and cherish in our hearts. So we can receive that as we accept others and the love that they offer, and we can enjoy feasting on the riches of His grace. So our invitation in this today is to become a grower of love. In the one of my other favorite images in the script, I got all these favorite images, I guess, but favorite verses. But in the city of New Jerusalem, there is a, you know, the golden streets and buildings and all that are paved, made with gold that's refined to transparency. And down the middle median of the main street of that city, there is the river of life, and it flows crystal clear. And along the banks of the river, the tree of life. And Sally preached on this last Sunday at Oakview, the tree of life and its leaves for the healing of the nations. One aspect of this tree that lines both sides of the river is that it bears 12 different fruits, one different fruit every month. And so the first fruit that we look at and we can imagine growing on that tree is love. And we're invited to share in that monthly crop, in that repeating, often delicious to our soul food. And to think about, just think a minute, how love will be in heaven. And this morning is a great time to think about that, because we have the sacrament of Holy Communion that we'll be sharing here in a minute. And it's World Communion Sunday, where we think about how we are a part of the communion of saints, and we, our hearts and minds are joined together with brothers and sisters of the faith, whatever religious affiliation that they have, and whatever their beliefs may be. We're one body in Christ, and our thoughts and our feelings are all connected. And not only all of us in earth, but also those who have gone on in glory, and we all live together in the love and fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And so this is a wonderful time to think about how love will be in heaven as we participate in this sacrament. Amen. We can participate. We can think about how love is when it's perfected, when there is no more sorrow, no more suffering, no more sickness, no more sin, and no more death. When love is refined to that perfection and that translucency of the gold of the streets of the city of New Jerusalem and the crystal clear water of the water of fountain of life as it flows down that river. We can think about how our lives could be if our love was perfect right now, and how the world could be if love was perfect throughout the world right now. And doesn't that make you kind of want to do just a little something? You know, maybe it won't be perfect. You know, maybe our part, whatever we do, won't perfect everything. But Doesn't it just make you want to make things just a little bit better? If a word that you say, or a deed that you do, or some of these things we've been talking about here, planting seeds and cultivating love, if it could just make it a little better, aren't you one of the beneficiaries of that? You're harvesting the fruit. And we're invited to do that today. In all opportunities, in our own hearts and minds, in our homes, in our relationships, in all our opportunities, wherever we go, to spread the love of Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen.